Hey, Power Gab listeners, it's co-host Jake Fogelman bringing you a special update edition of the Power Gab podcast. We want to cover the power outages that happened over the weekend in Colorado when the windstorms kicked up. Hopefully you can tune in when your power comes back on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Power Gab. This is actually a special edition of Power Gab. We're cutting in to do a midweek recording because there's a lot going on in Colorado energy. Listeners and viewers might know that over the past weekend here, there was a wide-scale loss of power throughout the state of Colorado. Xcel Energy, the state's largest monopoly electric utility, was forced to quote-unquote de-energize its transmission lines because we had some pretty nasty winds over the weekend. So 55,000 people lost power as a result of that. Another 149,000 or so lost power because of those winds, damaging power lines and distribution lines and the like. And so Coloradans had their latest big taste of what it looks like to lose power. So joining me, as always, is my co-host Amy Cook from North Carolina. Amy, do you want to kick us off as we dive into this calamity?
Actually, I should say I'm in an undisclosed location in Colorado right now, but I do have power. I was in an area, we lost, you know, trees, a couple of shingles off the roof, nothing bad, but we did experience the high winds. This is, as you said, this is probably Colorado's, I'm not going to say it's its first taste. It's its most recent, most significant, most impactful taste of a prolonged power outage. And those of us, and Governor Polis said in a letter to Xcel, and this is as reported by the Denver Gazette, that it was you called it de-energizing. For the layperson, that's just shutting off power. So shutting off power to your house. So for the layperson, shutting off power to 55,000 homes, this, he called it an unprecedented move, and one for which Coloradans weren't prepared. He's probably right about the fact that Coloradans weren't prepared, but two things on that real quick. One is that in this, this will be a bad pun, highly charged energy atmosphere that we find ourselves in, where we politicize everything. And also after the Marshall Fire, I am not surprised that Xcel did that. We have seen that with PG&E in California, shutting down power so that they could avoid wildfires. I don't blame them for that. And we're in a litigious society. So Xcel I'm not trying to excuse Xcel. I'm just saying they were in a no-win situation in this. The other thing, Jake, is he said Coloradans were caught off guard, and I don't doubt that. But those of us who have been watching this energy space in Colorado, analyzing it, have lived in it in the political world, I'm not surprised. And I think we are going to start seeing the normalization of blackouts. And actually, the piece that we'll drop in the show notes by a colleague of mine at the John Locke Foundation, when I was CEO there, worked for me, John Sanders, actually wrote a piece on the normalization of blackouts. And it isn't because we don't know how to deliver electricity responsibly and reliably. It's because of policy, or because of political or legal environment surrounding it, that has prioritized so many other things and put reliability at the bottom. So I'll start with that. You've got numbers that the point is blackouts actually cost not just lives. They cost money, they cost lives, they disrupt our lives. They are more than just an inconvenience.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. And to your point about what the normalization of blackouts looks like and the costs associated with losing power, I want to give kudos to the Denver Post, because they're one of the few outlets that have actually been doing some good reporting on what this looked like for businesses and for nonprofits that were affected by these blackouts, particularly in Boulder County. That was one of the most densely populated areas that was affected by the loss of power. And so I just want to quote a few numbers from the Post here. One pizzeria lost $70,000 in lost sales and food product they'd throw out. They quote a food kitchen that had to throw several hundred pounds of food away that they would help give to the needy. There's another store here that lost $35,000 worth of sales because they had to shut down. Obviously, you can't have customers when there's no power. So all in all, hundreds of thousands of dollars, likely, possibly millions when it's all said and done, were probably lost just by this 48 hours. You know, there's still a few folks, unfortunately, that are out of power as we're recording this. But for the most part, people are back, and it was only a couple of days. But just in those couple of days, that's a lot of economic harm that can be done without reliable power.
Yeah, and we haven't heard about loss of life yet. I don't know if there's any. I'm hoping that there isn't. But people who rely on medical devices that need power, people who have medicines that need to stay refrigerated or stay at a certain temperature. So we're fortunate probably that none of that has happened. But I also, and listeners know, I spent a lot of time in North Carolina, where, by the way, you know, power outages when you live on the coast. Those hurricanes happen with enough frequency that people know how to prepare. And I would say that's one of the big lessons that we have from this, is that we have we've prioritized safety, and I'm not making a judgment on that. I mean, that's why Xcel shut off power to 55,000, but another 140,000 still lost power because of the storm. I don't want to lose sight of that. 140,000 people still lost power without it being shut off to them. They lost it. In North Carolina, we learned, and I learned it quickly, you have backup power. We all have backup power. And in fact, in North Carolina and in Colorado, my backup power comes in, I have a diverse portfolio, I say, for my generators. I use multiple power sources for them because you just don't know what's going to happen. And you may have to have power, and you could be without it for an extended period of time. And I think Colorado is starting to come to grips with that. But I've said this before, we have to look at policy that surrounds this too, right? It isn't just, oh my gosh, Xcel shut off power to 55,000 people. There is a bigger picture here. And I think you've got an update that Governor Polis directed the PUC to look into it.
Yeah, that's right. So as of recording this, actually shortly before we jumped on here, he actually did an executive action basically ordering the PUC to investigate the decision-making that went into Xcel's ultimate decision to shut down that power, set up, he called it guardrails for future incidents. He pointed out the fact that, in all these windstorms since 1969, we've never had a utility do an emergency power shutoff. That could be why, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, things have changed a little bit over that time. But yeah, so there will be an investigation. We'll be obviously staying on top of what comes out of that. I'll be interested to see if anything really substantively changes, because like you said, what's the utility going to do? Either risk starting another wildfire and face another several hundred lawsuits, as Xcel is already facing for the Marshall Fire, or they shut off power and they face scorn for that as well. So I think your broader, we'll obviously stay on top of the investigation, but your broader point about people sort of taking reliability into their own hands as much as they possibly can is a very important one.
Yeah, take care of yourself. And I'll say one last thing about that. We'll look forward to keeping tabs on that investigation, because I found one of the most fascinating hearings, and this is for people like us that actually listen to this stuff, was Duke Energy in North Carolina explaining minute by minute the decisions that were made that affected, that ended up being rolling blackouts on Christmas Eve. That would have been 2021, maybe 2022. They, you know, at my age, years get blurred. But the point being, they went through minute by minute what was happening, and it was fascinating to listen to it and actually watch it. So I'm going to look forward to this. And thanks for getting it. You caught that right before we went on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we're sort of wrapping up here, we wanted to keep this special quick hit episode shorter for you guys. But do you want to give the listeners maybe some quick hit takeaways for this quick hit episode?
Yeah. Actually, a couple of things. One is that I think Coloradans are now feeling the impact of what happens when reliability isn't the number one priority. So, that's a policy issue that we have to have a conversation around. What does reliability look like? And I'm going to keep this one short, so I'm not going to do three, but that was my number one. We have to start thinking about reliability as the number one priority because we can't be without power. That's number one. And number two, Jake, I say this all the time, buy a generator, get a battery backup, get something so that if this happens again, you're prepared.
That's great advice, evergreen advice. Thank you all for tuning in to this special edition of this emergency update for PowerGab. We hope to be doing these, well, we don't hope to be doing these more often, but as issues arise, as special cases arise that deal with energy in Colorado, we want to be light on our feet and be able to quickly respond and get some content out for you guys so you can better understand what's going on in the state. If that appeals to you or our other content appeals to you, of course, stay tuned at IITV on YouTube, our PowerGab show. We release shows weekly. And you can also get them wherever you get audio podcasts like Spotify and iTunes. But until next time, we'll see you.
If you've enjoyed this episode of PowerGab, I hope you'll share it with a friend.
Or even an enemy.
You can listen to more episodes on all of your favorite streaming services. We release a new episode each week.
If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for a show topic, email info@powergab.org. And to watch the video version, just search the letters IITV for Independence Institute TV on YouTube for this and many other great conversations.